Fragments: The Need of Church Schools, September 25th, 1901. It is time for the members of our churches to be instructed to withdraw their children from the public school. The apt mind of a child readily learns lessons of evil in companionship with children who have not been properly trained. Thus, many children are corrupted. Church schools should be established, and teachers should be secured who will work earnestly for the physical, mental, and spiritual health of the pupils. I urge those in charge of the church school work to obtain the very best teachers to take charge of the schools started. I would say to church school teachers, know that you do know that you are worked by the Holy Spirit. Reveal in your life the power of the transforming influence of truth. Teachers should do their utmost to improve their own capabilities that they may teach their students how to make true improvement. For church school teachers to try to reform the children who have been neglected without the cooperation of the parents would make a very disagreeable state of things. Remember that while decision is necessary, you are never to be harsh and condemnatory. You are never to manifest an overbearing spirit. Keep calm. Reveal the better way by refusing to be provoked. Instruction in practical lines essential. In our schools, there should be classes for instruction in cooking and other branches of housekeeping. These classes will be a great blessing. They should be taught the science of healthful cooking. They should be taught to be neat and quick in performing the common duties of life. Many are deficient in this respect. There is great loss when those who are receiving a training for missionary work do not gain this experience. For unless students are educated in regard to the duties of practical life, how can they do intelligent missionary work? The educators in our schools, as well as the students, are to be more practical. Then their services will be more valuable. If teachers will live up to their privileges, they will improve the opportunity of learning how to do all kinds of housework. Words to parents. To the parents who have received the truth of God, I am instructed to say, give your children patient instruction and tender care. When the parents in our churches do the work the Lord has laid upon them, He will have channels through which He can do an advanced line of work. It is impossible to depict the evil that results from leaving a child to its own will. Some who go astray because of neglect during childhood will, through the inculcation of practical lessons, line upon line, precept upon precept, come to their senses. But careful, painstaking effort is required to place them in a right position. Many are lost forever because in childhood and youth, they received only a partial, one-sided culture. The precious motive power of the life is wasted, and the sin lies at the door of the parents. Many who serve in church capacity are in bondage to strange inconsistencies. The blunders of untrained, undisciplined childhood become the inheritance of manhood and womanhood. The perverted intellect can scarcely discern between the true and the false. In His Word, God has marked out a plan for the education of children, and this plan parents are to follow. They are to teach their children to overcome every indolent habit. Each child should be taught that he has a work to do in the world. Mothers, there is no work more important than the training of the child for usefulness in this life. It is in the home that a child shows whether he is prepared to take his place in the world. The Holy One has spoken words to parents and children. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Ephesians 6, verse 1 to 4. If parents do not fulfill their responsibilities, if they do not train their children for the Lord, the crime of disobedience lies at their door. To God, they must answer for their neglect. They are to teach their children that they are to honor their parents, and they are to so live that their children can honor them. They are never to provoke their children to wrath, but are to deal with them as the younger members of the Lord's family. They are to require obedience, being sure at the same time that their own will is in subjection to the will of God. Parents who desire their children to be patterns of piety must themselves be patterns of piety. Speaking of the qualifications of a bishop, Paul says, "A bishop, then, must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God?" 1 Timothy 3, verse 2, 4, 5. Let not parents betray their trust. Let there be no hypocrisy on the one hand, or deception on the other, but let them do their appointed work with the fear of God ever before them. Unreserved surrender. There will be those who will give money to the work of God, but this is not enough. The Lord calls for more, the gift of the whole life. This is where the real sacrifice comes. In many cases, to give money requires no effort. Missionary work calls for much self-denial. Christ says, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Matthew 16, verse 24. There are many who are not willing to suffer personal inconvenience, to make personal effort to advance the cause of God. The physician promises to save only on condition that the patient obeys his direction. Thus it is with the great physician. If human beings desire deliverance from sin, they must be guided by his word. Those who will not submit to his control cannot but continue in disobedience. Those who step to the devil's side will fall into the devil's hands. The shepherd goes forth to find the lost, perishing sheep and rejoices when he finds it. But the wanderer is henceforth to remain under the shepherd's care. It is not to renew its wanderings, but is to repay the shepherd's love by remaining in the fold. When the prodigal returns to claim a son's privileges, he must also consent to accept the obligations of a son.